Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I feel like a single engine plane that's going to be followed by a B-52 bomber. And really, the feeling is probably true. But it is so good to be here this morning. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm going to tell you, last night, if I have ever been preached to, Brother Calhoun preached to me. Hallelujah. He forevermore preached last night. Hallelujah. And I am so appreciative of the opportunity Brother Weeks asked me last night. The evangelist never turned down a chance to have a microphone, so we said, let's go. You have your Bibles. I'm going to make this quick. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to kind of hit a single engine flight, drop a little crop dust, and we're going to move on and have good church. Amen. How many of you come expecting something from the Lord this morning? Oh, you're not just saying that. How many of you really came expecting something from the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 3, verse number 8. Read a portion of Scripture. I'm going to condense about 45 minutes of a message into 15 minutes. My wife said it's going to be a miracle. Hallelujah. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together around about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened. Come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Verse number 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk to this assembly of young people and those that have gathered on why the giant is standing in your valley. Why the giant is standing in your valley. Can we grab the hand of our neighbor if it's appropriate? Lift our hands up to God and let's ask the Lord for a few minutes. Help us in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray right now. Loose that anointing, that power, that spirit. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated in the name of the Lord. Musicians, stay close by. I just want you to take off when I'm done. I want to take you just for a moment to a valley and a place there with a congregation of men and women and children that stood the noises of livestock as they moved about in the certain time that they were in. And I want to take you to a man that stood there and pointed his finger, and the voice of this man, shoulders squared, looked out among those that stood before him as they were surrounded on either side by a mountain as he made these words. It was the voice of a man that when he spoke these words, it was the voice of a man that had known what it was to see the great defeat of a people that would not believe promise. It was the voice of a man that recognized that here was a moment that if they responded accordingly to faith, that they could have just about anything that they wanted from God. It was the voice that reverberated across those walls of the mountains, Gerizim and Ebal on either side. And it was these words that this man spoke. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it's the God of the fathers that you served on the other side or in this place that you now are in. He said, you've got to make up your mind. Serve somebody. Make up your mind. He said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. The die was cast that moment. It was there. And hear me, young people. That man Joshua, he had seen the bitter defeat of a people that refused to latch on to promise. But it was in that moment that he said, choose you this day. Not tomorrow, not the day to come, not the year down the road. But you better make up your mind to do it here. You better make up your mind to do it now. We can't afford to make any just kind of halfway to decisions. We've got to make up our mind. Are we going to do what God wants us to do and take what we didn't
didn't take before? Or are we going to just go ahead and go back to where we were? Or make up our mind? I feel like we better make a decision this morning. This isn't just another service. I've come to get something from God, and we need to make up our mind. Is this going to be the morning? I wish somebody would shout unto God and say, yes, this is going to be the moment. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated, please. It was there between those two mountains that Moses had given the word from God that said, I want half the tribes of Israel to stand on one mountain where an altar that had never had the etching of tools upon the stones that built there. And there they had put upon the side of it the laws and the commandments that God had given. It was there that men from half the tribe, they began to curse and tell the curses of a people that if they didn't make a decision that was right for God, then there would be curses on one side. And on the other side of the mountain, there was a group of people, a host, that represented the blessings of God. And they stood there. You got to understand, if the decision that had to be made, it was in that moment. They chose whether to be a blessed people or they chose to be a cursed people. I'm glad this morning I have the ability to be a blessed person. I'm glad that I can make a choice that while the world's going to hell in a handbasket and they're coming against us on every corner, I've got a choice to live for God. Somebody clap their hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Lift up a voice. I'm here to make a choice. I'm not just here for another service, but I'm going to get a hold of God. Praise God. You can be seated. It was in this very same place, if you can, but bear with me, in this very region, in this very valley, taking you back to the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, that Jacob, having missed the opportunity before at a place called Bethel, where he saw a ladder touch the floor of the earth, extend to the heavens, and he saw the potentiality of his call from God. And yet the tragic story was that he woke up and said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I never knew it. Oh, I don't want to miss it today. I want to be awake when the ladder comes down and he shows me what's available. I want to reach out one hand after the other and climb towards him and get a hold of a miracle from God. It was in that place that Shechem, that place that Jacob was there. It was there that a decision had to be made 30 some odd years or longer after an arduous wait and walk in the valley of Shechem. It was there that God told him, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar unto God. Hear me. He had to make a decision. I've been waiting all my life to get back to that place. And now in the valley of decision, in the valley of Shechem, I have the ability. I can either turn to those with me and say, look, get rid of the stuff that's from the world and let's move back to where we're called to be. If we don't make a decision, we can miss it for the rest of our lives. But I'm telling you, when you're in the valley of decision, there's a decision that must be made. And if we make it, hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. If this is easy to preach in this congregation all the time, you guys have a good job to do. Hallelujah. It was in this valley, if you can, that Jacob, Joseph, at the end of his life, grabbed his sons next to him and said, I want you to hear, Brother Haddon. It was in this place called Shechem that Joseph, on his way to look for his brethren, he would meet a certain man and say, has anybody seen my brethren? It was the last place that he would ever cross before entering in to an Egyptian stronghold. But it would not be the last place that he would go. Egypt would not be the last place where his bones would settle. But he grabbed his boys and he said, listen, kids, we don't belong here in Egypt. You've got to make a decision one day. Listen, I know you're getting comfortable here, but when I'm dead and gone, they're going to bury me here. But when you get get ready to go. Take my bones and bring them to a valley of decision. I want you to take them to Shechem. I want to take them there. Why? Because you've got to make a decision. Egypt is not our home. We've been called to greater glory. Take you now. In closing, I'm right where I want to be. Take you now to closing and the story, the din, the cadence of the valley. There are men and there are soldiers and the clank of the crash and the clamor of the instruments of warfare, the nervous chatter of hardened men and warriors. This valley was the center of attention, littered with oak trees, green grass, lush vegetation, but the eyes of the people was not upon the prosperity of the valley. Instead, the Bible tells us that standing in the center of the valley, there was a man that was big and he was strong. And I don't have time to go into the implications of what he represented and what he was, but he was a giant of a man. He had greaves of armor and he had a sword and he had a spear and he had a helmet and he had all the auspices of battle. And yet there he stood for 40 long days. He stood in that place and began to call out to the children of God. He looked at them with an absurdity in him. And he said, I defy this day the armies of the living God. And it was in this valley called Elah, the valley of oaks, that there that Goliath stood in opposition to the people and the chosen of God. Now this is what I want you to hear, Brother Haddon, right now. I prayed this morning, I felt this in the Holy Ghost. If we're not willing to make a decision and confront what stands in the valley, what we don't recognize is that that is a generational giant. He wasn't meant to live beyond the first day. He wasn't meant to go screaming another day. He wasn't meant to show himself beyond that point. He wasn't meant to have the voice and the vocal and the idea of the strength and the stronghold of what he was. Musicians, you can play. I am closing. I will be done in just a couple of minutes. I really mean that. It was in that valley. I want you to hear me. That if somebody really quick can get for me 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 1, I would love for you to read for me because I want you to get there. Somebody get that for me real quick. Hallelujah. It was in this valley. What we don't understand is that there was a man from the tribe of Benjamin, Saul, that stood head and shoulders above everybody else, that was unwilling to fight, that was unwilling to stand and make a decision for that battle.
Now the Philistines
gathered
together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko. Which belongeth to Judah.
Wait a second. So many times we preach that story and don't understand that what they were fighting for was not the valley. But the Bible says on the other side of the giant, there was a mountain where the Philistines were camped. And it said it belonged to Judah. Listen to me. When we give up ground and we refuse to worship and we refuse to pray and we refuse to fast and we refuse to do what God called us to do, we're giving up something that already belongs. Let's stand all over this house. And so the man that was there, it was there in the borders of Ephesdamen. That literally means for the weeks, the borders of blood. Why? Because somebody had fought for it. Somebody had died for it. And listen to me, a generation of hardened warriors that were at the age to fight refused to confront the giant. Why? Because they did not recognize they weren't fighting a giant. They were fighting what was on the other side of it. There was a valley that stood there and a mountain that belonged to them. So I leave you with this, young people. If a generation won't fight it, if a hardened group of warriors won't do it, God God will skip a whole generation and go out into the fields where a boy named David is. Listen, because Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, that was a mountain Judah fought for. It ain't no big loss because he didn't fight for it. But all of a sudden there's a little boy that brings a supper to the people. And what tribe does he happen to be a part of? It's what God is saying. You know what? I'll go skip a warrior and I'll go find a praiser. I'll find somebody that's not willing to give up one inch, not willing to give up one ground. Hey, when a lion came out for one lamb, he said, no, sir. I fight for what's mine. When a bear came out for a lamb, he said, no, sir. I fight for what is mine. And when he took one look at that giant didn't understand. I believe that he was sitting there looking around that giant saying, hey, wait a second. And Goliath saying, who do you think you are? And David saying, I ain't looking at you. I'm looking at what old Caleb fought for. I'm looking at what my ancestors fought for. If we have something to fight for, the devil cannot stop us. So how do you do it? I believe this is what we do this morning. Is, you know what? There are giants that are standing here in some of you young people's lives. There's lust. There's fear. There's things that are choking you. And that giant's trying to confuse you and get your attention. You don't realize that if you get your eyes off of him and to the hills from whence your hope comes from, if you get your eyes off your biggest problem and say, Judah is going to win this battle. Praise is going to show up and win this battle. Could we right now lift up a voice to God and begin to praise and worship him?